My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Blessed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars just flown, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Yes,
I'll fly away, oh glory,
I'll fly away.
And when I die, hallelujah, by and by, cling to the
attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday.
We have now reached the portion of our service we had the opportunity to partake in communion as it was instituted by Jesus during the Lord's Supper. If you would like to read along with me in your Bibles, I will be reading from Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. Again, that's Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. And it reads, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" We now have the opportunity to do the same, and let us first do so by giving thanks for the bread. Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, we thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the remission of our sins, and so that we may have the opportunity for everlasting life with you in heaven. We pray, Lord, that as we partake of this bread, that we do it in a way and a manner that is pleasing in thy sight. It's in your precious Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.
Scripture this morning will be taken from Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, and verse 35 and 36. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, verse 35 and 36. "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. And as we open your word, we pray that our minds are ready to receive the engrafted word which is able to save our soul. Continue, Lord, to watch over us, lead us, guide us, and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning we want to talk on the subject, When Life Throws You a Curveball. A curveball is some unexpected problem, a twist in life that comes out of nowhere and typically throws us off our game and leaves us baffled as to how to hit it or deal with it. In life, I have learned we can't always control the situations, but we can control how we respond when things don't go as planned. There will be times we can't foresee where things will not go our way and everything will seem out of control. Sometimes bad things happen and life doesn't make sense. But however, we can be comforted by the fact that the same God who allows the good days is also there with us through the bad ones. When curveballs come at us, we can remember that God has not lost control. When faced with trials, faced with curveballs, instead of focusing on the reason, we need to focus on our response. How we respond to trials in our lives is one of the greatest tests of our faith, our trust, and of our relationship with God. In our text this morning in Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 21, we are quickly introduced to a man by the name of Jairus. He was a religious leader who had many religious responsibilities among his people. Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, a holy man, one that believed in God. We find this well-respected religious leader now faced with what may become a real tragedy that has taken up residence in his own home. A curveball has been thrown him. The Bible calls to our attention that his daughter lay sick in bed. Any parent that has ever had a child sick knows what the emotional toll it plays. And I'm not sure how Jairus knew how to find Jesus on this particular day in the midst of his tremendous need. All he knew was that his daughter was sick and he needed help. He had no time to think about what he was going to ask or how to put it into words. For the Bible says in verse 23, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. It is this man's faith that compelled Jesus to follow. Notice that as soon as Jairus spoke his faith, Jesus was attracted by that faith and went with him to heal her. Isn't it interesting that the text does not record that Jesus even spoke a word to this father in need? Look at the text again in verse 24, and Jesus went with him. Jairus expressed his faith the same way we show our faith in times of tragedy and trouble. He simply kept walking with Jesus. Faith goes with Jesus, no matter how unbelievable it may seem at the moment. Jairus must have been feeling pretty good at this point. But in the midst of this dramatic text, Jesus was interrupted. As he and Jairus and the disciples were making their way through the multitude, a woman came up behind Jesus and secretly touched the hem of his garment. This was a touch of faith. And Jesus turns and asks in verse 30, "Who touched me?" Now put yourself in this father's place. He has desperately made his way through the crowds to Jesus to beg him to come and heal his daughter, who is on death door. Obviously, he wants Jesus to hurry up and come as quickly as possible, because there is not a moment to lose. She could die at any given moment. And then on the way, a curveball hit him. Some woman comes up behind Jesus and by an act of faith makes a demand upon his ability. As Jesus stops to minister to her, Jairus is left standing there to watch the scene and no doubt think within himself, "This isn't fair. This woman has been sick for 12 years, but my daughter is dying right now. I came to Jesus first. He should come with me and heal my daughter, and then he can attend to this woman." I don't know about you this morning, but I've had to learn how to appreciate and thank God for the curveballs that he sends in my life. Just when you are preparing for that promotion, here comes a curveball. Just when your health seems to be improving, here comes a curveball. And I'm a living witness that the curveball that I encountered in my life in June 2015, when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer and I had robotic surgery in September 2015, but by the grace of God, no cancer has been detected. This helped me to refocus my attention on God, take my sights off myself and focus on God's sufficiency. This helped me to really put my trust in God. This helped me to understand that curveballs are not sent to harm us, but to help us. And so this narrative is evidence that Jesus is no respecter of persons. He will minister to the highest ranking official. He will minister to the lowest outcast of society. He had started going along with Jairus in response to his faith. And on the way, he stopped and ministered to this poor woman in response to her faith. This demonstrates the fact that the Lord is not looking for those who have wealth, who has position or power. All he's looking for is someone with enough faith. And as Jesus is talking with the woman, the messengers come from Jairus' house to tell him that his daughter had died. So there is no reason to trouble the master any further in verse 35. And Jesus hears what the messengers relay, and immediately he turns to this now shocked father and says to him in verse 36, "Be not afraid, only believe. Now, wait a minute. Bad report is given. And the Bible says, as soon as Jairus heard it, he addressed Jairus, "Be not afraid, only believe." That's what Jesus said when he heard it. But let me just stop for a minute. This is where all too often you and I fail as believers. The word went right to Jairus as soon as the bad news arrived. When we receive bad news, we spend too much time doing everything else before going to the Word of God. We fall out, we cry, we complain, we get on the telephone saying, "Why me?" And then when we are at our breaking point, we go to Jesus. Jesus immediately addressed and comforted Jairus. And as far as Jesus was concerned, death was no greater challenge than sickness. He knew that if he had the power to restore health, he had the power to restore life. Do you trust him enough, even when life throws you a curveball? Do we allow the word of God to immediately penetrate our hearts when things go from bad to worse? When the Lord tells us not to be afraid, not to panic, he is not saying that the negative situations we are facing are not real. They are real, just as the situation of Jairus' daughter was real. His daughter was dead. That is about as real as it gets. Jesus did not deny the reality of the situation. But he did indicate by his words and actions that it was not the ultimate or final reality. He went right on to Jairus' house, just as he had been doing before the bad report came. He had started out with Jairus in response to his faith, and he didn't intend to stop now just because the physical circumstances had changed. I look at verse 41. In verse 41, here we see the end of this fast-paced narrative. Jesus walks through the house with doubters and laughters and walked into the room with Jairus' daughter. When we are afraid, he is not. When we do not know the future, he does. When we have no power, he is powerful. When we aren't sure, he is faithful. Jesus walks into his house, took the dead little girl by the hand, and I say unto you, arise. And she did. I want you to know as I begin to close that if you just walk with Jesus in the times of adversity, in the times of storms, when curveballs come, if you refuse to let go of your faith, Jesus can and will make a way out of no way. He resurrect your marriage, even though it appears to be dead. I can resurrect your finances, even though you can't get credit for a package of bubble gum. Your situation may look dead and hopeless, but if you trust me, I'll be your bridge over troubled waters. So when life throws a curveball, I want you to remember three things. Number one, praise God. By praising God in everything, you recognize that he is still on his throne and in control. Praise him, not because you feel like it, but because he's worthy of our praise. It's his will that we give thanks in everything, even if we don't like what is happening to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It isn't a suggestion, but it's a command. Number two, keep the anchor rope tight. When you take a boat out on the water and drop the anchor, you pull the anchor rope tight to keep the boat from drifting. The same is true when the curveballs come our way, the closer we stay to God, the more grounded we will be. Trials have a way of bringing us to our knees and either turning toward God or away from God. But then number three, trust God. You may not understand God's ways, but you can trust him. God is not out to destroy you or punish you. God is looking to draw you and others to himself. And sometimes that means allowing a wonderful thing in our lives. And sometimes that means allowing horrible things in our lives. So in those darkest times, when the curveball is flying fast towards you, whisper these words: I trust you, God. Trust and believe in God's goodness, because it brings strength and calm to your heart when you don't understand what God is doing. So when curveballs come your way, are you praising him? Are you staying close to him? Are you trusting him? Trust God, even when life throws you a curveball. If you're listening this morning, have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that Jesus died that we might live. God made a way that we can obey him, that we can obey his plan. You heard the word. Believe it to be true. Romans 10:17. Repent of your sins. Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. Go in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Then when you come up out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Lord adds you to his church, Acts 2:47. The church that he purchased with his own precious blood. The church that he died for. The church that he's head of. And he's coming back for. He's not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. And then live faithfully. Faithfully unto death, you'll receive a crown of life. If you want to know more about the Church of Christ, or if you have any prayer requests, call us at this number, 734-482-4922. Or you can call at the church building, 734-483-1864. We have another song, and then we have a closing prayer.
We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, sometimes we dream together of how it will be. We all get to heaven. And though some go before us, we'll all meet again just inside the city as we enter in. There'll be no more party. With Jesus we'll be together forever, God's family. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. When we all get to heaven, God's family.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your oversight and care for us during the current battle with the COVID-19 virus. We understand that you are not the cause of this pandemic, and we know that you have allowed it to come into our world for reasons that are only known by you. We pray as always that your will be done in all things. Continue to watch over us and keep us safe from this evil virus as we continue to put our faith in you and your Son. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship you and study your word together via electronic means while we stay at home per our governor's direction. Thank you for Skippy and the sermons and lessons that he has shared with us during the last few weeks. They have been very uplifting and very much needed. We appreciate all who have been participating in both the Sunday morning church service and the Wednesday evening Bible study, and we pray that our efforts are pleasing to you as well. May your blessings fall on all of us as we continue to press on during this difficult time. Under your watchful eye, it appears that the situation is now improving. We continue to look forward to the day when we all once again assemble together to fellowship with each other while we worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray for all who are now facing physical, economical, or spiritual problems. We ask that you look down on all who seek your help with their concerns. May we never forget that you are always by our side in the good times and in the bad times as well. As we close this prayer, we want to thank you again for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we may have the opportunity to live with you in heaven forever and ever. We love you. And we pray that these things in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen.